Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
Hello, hello. My name is Andrea Rappaport. I'm an oversharing funny girl who recently got divorced.
And I'm Morgan Stogfill, a family law attorney in Chicago, and I was not Andrea's lawyer.
Morgan and I decided to launch this podcast to offer insight and humor on the topic of divorce.
Exactly. Divorce can feel overwhelming. We know that, and we want to help.
So here goes. We hope that this is helpful.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
This is something that you don't have to do alone.
The research has shown that staying for the children is not always the best for the children.
This kind of feels like there had to have been so much more to this story.
How Not to Suck at Divorce.
This episode is called The Parenting Agreement. And spoiler alert, this was easily my least favorite part of the entire divorce process.
Is there really even a favorite part?
No, there's not.
I didn't think so. But why was this your least favorite part?
Because this is the part that dealt with the children. And Jesus, here come the tears. Okay. Let's get into the logistics first of this whole parenting agreement, and then we can dive into why this was so hard for me.
It's so understandable that it's so hard for you, like so many people. If you mention someone's children in any part of the divorce process, it brings tears to your eyes. So it's not unusual that you're feeling like this.
It's such a mess. It's so funny how even just like talking about the topic makes me, it brings me back to so many really intense emotions that I felt when I was filling out this paperwork. So here in Illinois, which is where we live, we called this, I don't even remember what the hell we called it. I think it was called a parental allocation or something. I don't know. I know that it's called different things in different states, but what exactly is this allocation, parental allocation, whatever it's called, judgment?
So in Illinois, it's called an allocation judgment, and it's gone through many names over the years. So what we're really talking about, if you're out of state, is a custody judgment. And what this is a document that guides decisions related to the children. Who has the children on this day? Is it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Is it Thursday, Friday? Who has what holiday? How do you make decisions for the children? This is exactly what this document does. It deals with all children-related issues.
So the purpose of the document is to what? Make it so that the parents aren't going head to head every time there's an issue relating to the kids?
Exactly. It's basically like a manual of how you two are going to raise your children and what the decisions will be going forward. In my business, what I like to say to somebody is, hopefully, we use this just as a backstop. Hopefully by the end of this, if you're amicable and we do this right, you take this document, you throw it in a drawer and you never look at it again, because you can do this without it. Not every time people can do that. And you always have this as a backstop should things go haywire that you fall back on and look to see what you do.
I remember when I was going through my divorce and I needed to do this allocation judgment, that we used a mediator to get to accomplish this. Is that what most people do? Are there other ways to do this? Or how would somebody go about coming to an agreement on this allocation judgment?
So the best way to do it, and that's a great question, is if you can do it just the two of you coming together, knowing what you're solving for and figuring it out, that's the best. You're the parents. Everybody has a different custody judgment. And what I mean by that is everyone parents their children differently. Some holidays, like we talked about on the last episode, you may be Jewish, but Christmas may be a really big deal to you and your family. Mm-hmm. So that is important if you can agree together. If you can't, there's lots of ways to do it. Like you said, you can use a mediator, you can use attorneys to work through it. I've even had extended family that meant a lot to people come in and help negotiate it. So anything that we can do it to make it work for you and your family, we do it.
So, okay. Just like, I just want to help spell this out for people who really don't know like what we're talking about at all. Can we back up for a second and kind of walk through when you get to this point in your divorce process, your attorney will say like, okay, now we need to come to an agreement on custody or on this or on that. Just so everybody knows, this is a document that both parties agree on and it gets filed by the court, but it's broken down into different categories. So there's, help me remember, Morgan, there's like who has the kids on what day,
yep,
the holidays,
yes,
the medical stuff. Like
right.
It basically just goes through anything that you can think of that pertains to the kids. And it basically assigns responsibility, or if it's not responsibility, it'll state that that a lot of these things need to be agreed upon by both parties.
Right. And for example, one of the examples I can give is extracurricular activities. How are they chosen? Who gets to make the final decision? Is it a joint decision? Are we always going to send Margaret to ballet? What really matters in your family and how do we get to that decision? That's one of the examples of what goes into this agreement.
And like Morgan said before, you know, the goal is that you don't really use this, right? And correct. I can tell you that when you're going through the divorce, and it's horrible and it's contentious, you think, holy shit, we are signing a document that's going to be filed by the court that dictates when I see my children, when I don't see my children, when like who's in charge of this, who pays for this, who pays for that. It feels so unnatural and horrific, but you have to keep in mind that for a lot of couples, I don't want to go out on a limb and say most, but for a lot of couples, this is something that you have to put into place. But once the dust settles, you are able to speak to each other and you're able to work this out. So that is something that I think is really important to interject right now, because when I got to this part of the divorce, I fell the F apart. This was horrible for me because I felt like, holy mother of God, I gave birth to these children and now I'm signing a document saying, I agree that I will not have them on this day, this day, this day, this day. I was actually like doubled over a toilet vomiting because it was just so horrific. So know that. Also, backing up even more, if if the parties getting divorced are going to not cohabitate during their divorce process, they do put together a temporary allocation agreement. Is that correct? Just for the duration of the divorce, stating like who the kids are with when?
So if we can come to an agreement on a temporary order or arrangement, we do, if the parties are going to live apart. Sometimes that's not, like you're talking about, a very contentious case. Sometimes it's not able to be done without a judge ruling on it. So if it's not able to be done without a judge ruling on it, I do not suggest that a client moves out away from the children unless their safety is at issue, because it could put you on really unequal footing.
Yeah. It's tricky. And, you know, in my case, I did move out and we put something in place immediately. And, you know, and I like every state is different with this and every case is different. But it is this whole part involving the kids is really the trickiest part of all of this, because the children are really the completely innocent ones in this whole debacle. And it's tough. And, you know, when we first started to talk about this episode, and when Morgan and I talked about even recording this episode, I did not want to talk about it. I didn't want to record this episode. I felt very uncomfortable even touching on this topic, which I know means that I need to talk about it and that this is really important, but you almost feel like a failure of a mother having to do this. You feel like on some level you let your kids down by having to file a document with the court that says that there are only certain days of the week when they're going to be with you. And I realize that that's not what it is, but I will say that for me, that's how it felt. I also feel like as a parent, it just feels so unnatural. Innately, it just feels so weird, so wrong to not see your children on like a normal, like daily basis. And just having to go through, and this is all stuff that has to be done, and you know it logically, but just the emotional stuff like starts to creep in and you think like, oh my God, am I really going into detail right now about like who's going to take my child to soccer practice and list the names of other people who are allowed to pick my child up? Should I not, you know, should I not be available to do that? And like, it just feels so official. It doesn't feel like a big deal when you're filling out these papers for your school, right? And it's like, okay, here's the name of our sitter. Here's the name of this, like, rah, rah, whatever. This felt very different. I don't know. It feels real. It feels weird.
But let me ask you this, because this is so important to talk about. And I appreciate you giving our listeners your feelings of why this was so difficult for you, because this is what other people are going through. But the question I have for you is, you've been in this for a while now, right? You had a temporary agreement. Now you had a full agreement, because that's what's necessary in order to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. Has it gotten a little bit easier under that scenario now that you're in the swing of things? So is there light at the end of the tunnel for our readers or our listeners?
There is light at the end of the tunnel in terms of being able to communicate with my ex to work towards doing what's really best for the kids. I do think that unfortunately we fell into a very toxic situation during the course of our divorce, where the children's interest was probably not the priority. And it turned into, how can I hurt this person? And obviously the way that you can hurt somebody most is through their kids. And that was horrific to go through. Truthfully, not being with my children every day is something that has not gotten easier. And that is something that I did not think through Luckily, I didn't think through it when I decided that I wanted to get a divorce, because I don't know that I would have been brave enough to tell my now ex-husband that I wanted a divorce. And I'm glad that I did. But that has been a very, very challenging piece for me. And my kids are young. When I first started this, my kids were 2 and 4. They were about to have birthdays. They're now 4 and 6. And my God, like it's hard to leave babies. It is really hard to hug babies goodbye. And right now it's Thursday night when Morgan and I are recording this episode. And Thursdays are the dreaded day in my week, because that's the night that I say goodbye to my kids, and I don't have my children Thursday nights until Monday morning. And there are weeks where it doesn't feel as horrible, and then you think that it's getting better, and then the next week it stings like something awful, and it's tough. So I'm not going to lie and say like, oh yeah, it's fine. I can't even remember my kids' names, those little shits. No, that's not the truth. It is horrific, but I think that knowing that it's going to be horrific and putting a plan in place to take care of you is really important. And I still got divorced, and I'm still glad that I got divorced. This is a piece that I will need to work through. Staying in my marriage, quote unquote, for the kids would have been the worst decision I could have ever made. And thank God I didn't choose to do that.
And let me talk about that for a second, because I think it's so important that everybody knows. The research has shown that staying for the children is not always the best for the children, even if they're young. Because no matter what, when you're experiencing something in your marriage that's really difficult and leading you down the path of a potential divorce, the children, no matter the age, are feeling that tension. So what I usually hear from clients is when they finally separate and the kids are on a plan that's working, the kids are much less tense. The kids are much more relaxed. And it's just the stability part of getting used to the schedule.
Right. And it can be done. And kids will be fine. Children will not be fine if they are subjected to any type of abuse, obviously. But this goes for mental and emotional stuff too. And also just toxic tension in a house that wears at children big time. And to what Morgan just said, they know.
Right.
You think you're doing a good job covering it up. They know, they can feel it. They can smell it. It's hard and it sucks. And none of this is easy. None of this is easy. And please know that I am not speaking to you from a place of I went through it and I've got all the answers. I have none of the answers. I have none of the answers. I am just talking to you as somebody who did go through this, and it is horrible, but I am on the other side, and I am so much happier, so much stronger, so much better than I was. But this part is not easy.
But you know who has the answers?
You, my dear.
At times I will say yes, but a good attorney has answers, right?
It's
and that's
true.
Why it's so important that you interview attorneys, you find the right one, and that attorney guides you, because that attorney will shake you out of that shell and yes. say, listen to what you're saying. This is not best for the kids. Or maybe they'll say, I have no problem saying, I think you can save this marriage if that's something you want to do. I say that all the time.
So to what Morgan just said, everybody, like, please, like, listen to this. If you have an attorney who's right for you, they will guide you through this, just like they will guide you through every other step of your divorce. This is something that you don't have to do alone. It won't be like what I went through. And that's something that I didn't touch on before, but I should say one of the reasons why doing this parental allocation, they got to come up with a different name. First of all, that's the most horrible name. I don't even know what the hell it means.
It literally just sounds like an antiquated document.
Seriously.
Children are property, right? Like so gross.
Antiquated, allocated, big mess. So here's the thing. I did this alone. I did not have, I would say probably not any help in figuring out what to do. No, actually, let me rephrase that. I absolutely had no help. I will be bold and say that I had no legal help filling this out. I was left on my own. I had a girlfriend come over and help me, give me guidance on what to do. And to that, I will say that there were some major mistakes made on my end, major mistakes that ended up costing me money in child support that I didn't get because of some stupid law where we live about nights versus daytime hours and all of this stuff. So all roads lead back to have an attorney who's right for you, who will do the work alongside you to protect you, protect your children, and get you the money that you and your children will need.
Right. So you just touched on something that I want to touch on. So in addition to, you know, what goes into this, right? We know it's the parenting time. We know it's the holidays. Who makes the decisions? How? One of the pitfalls that I see a lot is that if people don't use either attorneys at all, meaning that they're negotiating without an attorney, which is never a good idea. I like to at least advise my clients if they want to negotiate between themselves, I want to advise them before they start that. And the reason I do that is exactly what you said. You may be negotiating something that you think is fair and equitable and works well with your family. And then you say, yeah, that's what we want to do. But then you don't realize that you have just really hurt your case for child support because the state you live in has different laws that mandate that because you gave up this amount of time, now your child support is less or nothing. So I'm not saying that we want to put child support and parenting time together. I don't think that's right. But what I am saying is you should know every ramification, every risk before you say, yeah, I'm entering into this and this is what we're doing.
Yep. That's all I'll have to say to that. Yep. Yes. My ex's attorney was a little bit more on the ball with that than we were. And that is all she wrote. It was not good. Is there anything else, Morgan, that gets included into this custody agreement that we didn't already list? Because we talked about parenting days, parenting time, holidays, medical stuff, school stuff.
Yep. So here's a few other things that sometimes we can put in there. Sometimes you can negotiate, how does it look introducing your children to a significant other?
Oh, right.
Do you want to say that you can't introduce for a period of time? Is that something you can agree upon? How is the introduction going to take place? Another idea for people is in Illinois, we have to put what's called removal language in there, meaning where can you move? How can you move? How far can you move? You just can't pick up and just move out of state. But what does that look like? Also, another idea, something we call the right of first refusal, meaning.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I remember, what is that all about?
So it's basically a very easy premise, which is this is my day. I have the kids and I'm going to be gone overnight or a period of time. So therefore, instead of going to get, you know, Mary Smith, the babysitter down the street, or calling a relative to take the kids, I have to call my ex-spouse and say, hey, do you want the kids? Because I'm not going to be exercising my time. So that is one thing that people negotiate. Some people like a longer period of time, other people like shorter. And that's something.
Hey, what does that mean, longer or shorter?
Meaning some people negotiate that it's an overnight right of first refusal. I'm not going to be there overnight with my kids. So therefore I have to call my ex-spouse and say, would you like time with the children before I call a babysitter? other people like a short window for a right of first refusal. And there's various reasons as to why people want that or like that. It could be, 4 hours. If you're not going to be with the children 4 hours during the day, you've got to call the other side before you get a babysitter.
Yeah.
So it all is very case specific.
Got it. It's so interesting because I know that obviously like we have that with us, but I can't even remember what those terms are. Maybe I should know. There's so much, guys. There's so much that goes into this that you think like you're going to remember and you honestly don't. This is like pages and pages long. Now, when I filled this out, I requested that we not file a permanent agreement, which typically I know like, okay, that's it. But I asked that we review it in a year's time because I wanted to see if what we were putting in place was going to work. Because like I mentioned before, my kids are really young. Also, I got divorced during this year of COVID. So nothing was normal. Therefore, like they didn't have extracurricular activities. We didn't know what their lives were going to be like. My son was entering kindergarten. So I felt very uneasy signing something that was like, yep, this is how it's going to be. This is what we're agreeing to as far as what the kids are going to do and how they're going to do it and who's doing this and who's taking them there and who's paying for what. Is that common that people ask for something relatively, I don't want to say temporary, but not so permanent? And is that even a good idea?
So I can speak to Illinois, and in Illinois, we have to, per our rules, enter into a final custody judgment or an allocation judgment within 18 months. That's what our rules say. So it has to be a full agreement. The court wants it entered by that period of time. However, what you're saying makes sense because you've never been divorced before. Your kids have never gone through a divorce. Maybe the parenting schedule doesn't work or the holiday doesn't work. So it's always a good idea to put review language into the parenting agreement saying, maybe within 1 year, we're going to review it. Within 1 year, we're going to meet. And if we can't figure it out, then maybe we'll go to mediation. Those kind of things in the allocation judgment are important because it doesn't just close the door. It doesn't feel so final, right? I think that's what you're getting at. You felt so final and you've got these little kids and you're like, how could I even think about this like that?
So that's exactly what it was. I felt, and it made me feel a little bit less anxious in doing this, if I just had that language in there. So yeah. And I'm actually coming up on the time when we need to be reviewing it. So isn't that timely? Oh my God. Okay. Speaking of changes, I will pay you $1 million right now if we can change the topic.
I will, but I'm going to need $5 million.
Okay, I'll give you $5 million and I'm going to need a dirty vodka martini with some blue cheese stuffed olives.
You can do whatever you want. The bottom line is I don't judge. That's not my job. So you go for it.
I will drink to that, my friend. Oh my God. Can we not talk about this? Blah, that was hard. Okay. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time to hear from some of our favorite friends from the internet, shall we? This is my favorite segment called You Really Suck at Divorce. Okay, guys, we did a little digging. We've got some stories. We've got some stories. So I found something a little bit interesting. I usually don't talk about celebrities because I don't find it that interesting, but this story is interesting. And it also is somebody like somewhat notable. So here goes. You all know who Sherry Shepherd is. She's one of the hosts of, or was one of the hosts on The View. I don't think she still is. Is she? I don't even know.
I don't know. I usually am working during daytime.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of The View. Okay, regardless. So Sherry Shepherd was married to a guy named Lamar Sally. They got divorced while she was pregnant, or they split up while she was pregnant. There was an issue surrounding child support because here's the thing, y'all. Sherry Shepherd's child was conceived with a donor egg and she had a surrogate. They split up while they were pregnant Sherry Shepherd claims that she should not have been responsible for the amount that they calculated was that she would have owed $4,100 per month in child support to him, Lamar Sally, because once the baby was born, he was taking care of the baby. Very complicated. And then I believe that, Morgan, correct me if I'm wrong, Sherry claims that she was duped in this whole thing, right? Right.
Her claim was that it was fraud on her, that he talked her into getting a surrogate just so that he could essentially pop out a baby and collect child support. That's her claim.
Bizarre. So bizarre. I believe that what ended up happening is that nobody cared about Sherry Shepherd's story and she did have to pay him $2,100 a month.
And I can't really blame the judge there.
I mean, I just think that this whole thing is just strange, interesting, and strange.
What's the moral of this story?
I don't know what the moral, like, because here's the thing. If this is you, if you're Sherry and you feel like somebody talks you in, let's say that you either can't carry a child or you don't want to carry a child, but you want to have a child and you have a donor egg and a surrogate. I mean, I don't know. This kind of feels like there had to have been so much more to this story.
So much more. Could you imagine the amount of paperwork they had to go through? I mean, how many things did she sign acknowledging that she was on full board? She's the mom. I mean, right. This just doesn't make sense. Something smells fishy to me.
Well, and also I feel like what has to be going on between two people to split up while you're about to have a baby together?
And not even have a surrogate having your baby, right? So right.
There's a lot going on.
There's
here.
A lot of things. There's a
yeah,
lot.
There's a lot of things. I feel bad. It's a weird situation. But also, I feel like, can you imagine being that child?
That's the worst part about it. I mean, how could you go into court and make that argument? Oh my gosh, I'd feel sick about it. But whatever you do, your divorce and your custody issues are probably not going to be as bad as Sherry Shepherd's, right?
I mean, God, let's hope not. Let's hope not. I just feel like, oh my God, I don't even know. Guys, no matter what you do, don't be like Sherry.
And here's the deal. If you are like Sherry, please don't tell anyone you listen to this podcast.
Give another name out there. Any name will do. Because guys, just because divorce sucks, doesn't mean that you have to suck at it.
And that's totally why we are here. If you have friends who are going through this process, let them know that this podcast exists. We would like to reach as many people as possible who's going through this or even thinking about it. It's not because we have all the answers, but it's because it's important for people to know that you're not alone. I'm here to give legal insight, and Andrea is here to normalize all of these thoughts and emotions.
It's true. And if you need some distractions, people, then hop your little tushy on over to Instagram. You can find me at the Andrea Rappaport. I'm a little bit silly, a little bit wild, and a lot real. Oh, and I'm also a beauty expert, which I really haven't mentioned much on the show. That's to come. But I offer a lot of beauty tips and tricks on my page. And we'll get into that more in the coming episodes.
I mean, who doesn't love beauty tricks?
That's right.
And I can be found over on Instagram at Divorce Attorney Chicago. And you can reach out to me at beermanlaw.com.
Most importantly, you guys, remember that you got this.
And we have you.
And we are helping you learn
how not to suck at divorce.
Till next time, you guys. And Morgan, can we please cover something lighter next episode? Yeah. Like maybe like, I don't know, divorced themed origami or something.
Divorce cooking class, whatever you want to do. Just put divorce in front of it and we
divorce,
will make it fun.
Divorce shaped cookie cutters, anything except a parenting agreement, please.
Divorce yoga next episode.
Divorce goat yoga.